the Irish Language Art Song Project sees 50 new art songs set to Irish language texts. It'll be performed in the National Concert Hall on the 15th and 19th of February and the 12th of March at 7:30 p.m. Three different concerts. With me in studio this evening, the artistic director of the project, Dorinja Nuvara, Professor Alan Titley, who is the Irish literature consultant, and Garrett Shuldas, who is the score editor and one of the composers involved. And I'll start with you, Dorinja. If we get a kind of a hook around what we mean by art song, poetry is an essential element, I suppose, to all of this.
Poetry,
isn't it?
Yeah. Art song is the name of the genre in classical music that you give to songs that are composed for singer and piano, classical singer and piano. That's what it's called. In German, it's Lied, or in French, it's Melodie.
And to a large extent, it's quite often it's settings of poems that we're talking about.
It is settings of poetry, mostly. Sometimes maybe an excerpt of text, but mostly it is. You're absolutely right, it's poetry.
Which is why you brought in Professor Alan
Titley,
I'm presuming.
Brought him, because he's the authority on Irish literature, and he's been absolutely fantastic. He knows everything from A to Z about everything that's ever been written in Irish.
Keep going, Don. You're doing very well there.
Yeah, I won't ask you how many Irish poems there are, because I want to get a figure, which surprised me, and I know it surprised, well, your husband, John Hess, who is a pianist.
That's right.
Dorinja, and he was, tell us how he came across this number 17.
Yes. Well, we've been living in Canada for the last 25 years, as you probably know. I just came back to Ireland last year. And John is a pianist, as you said, and he was director of the Collaborative Pianism Programme at Western University in Canada. And about 5 years ago, we were back visiting in Dublin, and he wanted to do a unit on Irish art song. And when I say Irish art song, it's art song written by Irish composers. So he went into the Contemporary Music Centre in Dublin, and he was in there for a week. I didn't see him at all. And on Friday, he came home and he told me that he'd found hundreds of art songs written by Irish composers in English. And then as a throwaway, he said, and by the way, there were only 17 art songs there in the Irish language.
And he knew the grenade he was lobbing at you when he said, told you that, did he?
Say that again?
He knew the grenade that he was lobbing at you.
He's been married to me for 25 years, so I think he knew.
Yeah, because you have the Gaelic Ogukish, you spoke.
Togug Meilug, yes, sorry.
Togug the Gaelic Ogukish, yeah.
Brought up speaking Irish in Cork, and my parents didn't speak Irish before they got married. But when they got married, they decided to bring us up in Irish. So, as you know, people of that generation were very idealistic. So to say something like that to me and somebody like me who's a classical musician who lived in Dublin and worked in classical music, I was shocked and embarrassed.
Yeah, you even felt a little bit of responsibility, which I think is a little bit harsh on yourself.
It is, I know. But you know, I felt so embarrassed by it because I had a group in Dublin called Nua Nos, Note the Irish Name.
Yeah.
And I was in a position to commission, and I did commission songs, and it never occurred to me to commission something in the Irish language. So there you go.
Yeah, so Shock and Jag, 17 of them, Alan. Were you surprised by that number?
I was surprised because I knew nothing whatsoever about anything to do with this project.
So
every single thing was a surprise to me. No, Dorinja got on to me about 5 years ago, I think it was, when you were thinking of this.
Right. And short emails at the time.
Yeah, short emails at the time, and asked me would I be interested in doing this or would I help out. And because I'm reasonably ignorant of this, or totally ignorant of it, I decided, well, why not? And if you can help out what sounded like a very good project, I said I would. So then nothing much happened for a number of years, I think. Dorinja and John were trying to get money for this project, and that I think there were some difficulties with that.
We had tried to get money in Canada, first of all, to do it in Canada.
Yeah. And eventually the money came through, so I got another email from Darren, and I said, oh my God, it means I actually have to do this work in the end. It was actually very interesting because, again, I knew nothing about this except that I was put in contact with various composers. They either rang me or Skyped me or emailed me, and they would come to me and they would ask, I'm looking for a piece that an early Irish, early modern Irish, something, maybe a song. Occasionally they knew something about what they were looking for, maybe a modern poem. They would give a theme like the sea or love or nature or birds or something like that. And my job was to go away and dig out some poetry. And initially I looked for poems and for pieces pieces of work, which an English translation was already available, because it was easy to do so not having any Irish, you'd give the English translation. And the cases where that wasn't the case, then I made a stab at translating them myself and sent them on. And I think most of them, but I had nothing to do with the composition. It was simply telling them what the poetry might be, what the song would be, and so then let them work away on it.
But, you know, when in hindsight now, when you hear 17 in the archive, just of these songs, Oscailige, these art songs, Oscailige, does that surprise you? I suppose the problem is we don't really have that tradition in terms of classical music and the Irish language. Yeah. O'Riordan, Sean O'Riordan, maybe made an attempt to bridge that gap.
He did, but I mean, there are good historical reasons for that. You wouldn't have had, I mean, the small number of people who would have been involved in classical music anyway in Dublin and maybe in Cork and Galway and Belfast and other places would have been reasonably small, and none of those were really Irish-speaking cities. So there weren't really concert halls around the country in Irish-speaking areas, so that was unlikely to do so. Also, Irish speakers were notoriously poor, as we know from the 19th century onwards, and were disadvantaged and dispossessed in all kinds of ways, so it was unlikely that this would happen. Yes, I suppose when you come to the 20th century, when there was a revival, when a lot of interest took place, you might be surprised that it wasn't. That is true, and Sean O'Riordan did make an attempt, but I always think there was a huge division between Sean O'Riordan's classical music in one hand and his work with arranging traditional Irish music in the other, and that twain didn't seem to meet at all.
Gareth, then you came to this as a composer. You know, you've edited the scores, which was, I suppose, in some ways was a case of taking everybody else's bad handwriting and sorting it out into a printed score that people could read. That's part of what's involved in that. But you came to it as a composer as well.
Yeah.
What kind of Irish were you bringing to it?
I'm embarrassed to say, not a terrific standard of Irish at all.
Really going to school then? Irish. Yeah,
and actually, even then, not fabulous. There is an auspicious Irish connection in the family. I'm told that there is a sort of a connection, distant connection to David Green, who is professor of Irish in Trinity. So that actually just makes it more embarrassing. I was a little bit daunted, but really excited at the same time, and particularly appreciative of the wonderful support that Dorina provided, and also Alan, and then also Breed Ní Chruachán, who was the Irish language advisor as well on the project. It was a wonderful opportunity to, I suppose, find a personal creative connection to the language.
And did you, given that you were coming from, as you admitted yourself, you know, a situation where it was school Irish and not even very good school Irish, much of it possibly forgotten because you're not using it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, did you find when you started to compose, first of all, what did you choose, and did you find a connection starting to come up that surprised you? What kind of connection was there?
I ended up working with a folk text, actually, a text called Donal Óg, which I think many people might know in an English translation, My Lady Gregory. I chose it because it's a text that I've heard my friend, the composer Linda Buckley, sing. She's a wonderful Chant-No singer, and I sort of zeroed in on it because I had that experience of listening to her sing it, and I felt like there was that sort of immediacy there, and she sings it so beautifully, and the text also is extraordinarily sad and desolate, and I'm always struck by the last stanza. You've taken the East from me, you've taken the West from me, you've taken the future from me, you've taken the past from me. You've taken the sun from me, you've taken the moon from me, and my fear is great that you've taken God from me.
Yeah, it's like it is like totally
the tolling of a bell.
Well, we're not going to upset you by playing the end of it tonight. We're going to have to pick you up off. But let's listen to a little bit of it. You get a taste of the beginning of the piece, in fact. Yeah. But that desolation is there, I think, in what you've chosen to do in the very opening section, because it is, well, let's hear what it is in the opening section.
Oh,
And that's just the opening section there of O'Gonal Óg, and that's Garrett Shaldis's composition of that Irish poem. Robin Trichter was the voice that we that's heard right. singing for you there. And I talked, the desolation is there, I think, in the absence of any accompaniment in the beginning, in the opening section. And it was John Hess who was playing the piano and who does play the piano in many of the accompaniments that you will hear as part of this Irish Language Art Song project. With me in studio this evening, the director of the project, Dorian Inivara, and Professor Alan Titley, who is the Irish Literature Consultant, alongside Garrett, who was one of the composers involved. I suppose one of the things that really struck me about it is, you know, in terms of Irish poetry, are they all in the hone, hone, oh, and is everything a lament and a sadness and a desolation, or do we get things on the lighter side of things?
No, there was actually a huge variety in terms of theme and in terms of time. I think the earliest piece is probably a poem called Avergin, which is meant to be the very first poem when the poor poet landed somewhere in County Kerry, which wasn't County Kerry then, back in some pre-Christian times. And that is a very old ancient text, probably from the 8th century itself. And we have other Fionnuala poetry from around the same time, or maybe later redactions of it. We then have a lot of, which is interesting about Garrett's piece there, is that this is already a traditional song. And there were quite a number of those traditional songs, Bunan Bui and Queen Letonia, Cashel Moon, Kiel Chash, and all these ones. They're not all O'Hone songs whatsoever.
Yeah.
And Bunan Bui is certainly not an O'Hone song, as we know. Taimshim Hulla, which is also done. But Kiel Chash, which is a lament, but a different kind, a political or a social lament as well. And then there were a lot of modern poets as well. Nolan Nihonel, Declan Collins, Padraig McAuley, Samaira Vakuti, Gabriel Rosenstock, Nolan Nihruhuid.
Yeah, we had a bit of Nolan
Nihruhuid. So we'd kind of everything in such a variety of them there. And of course, in some ways, that reflects the 1,500 years of Irish poetry that we have.
You were going to tell me 1,500 poems, but 1,500 years. We've
a few more than that. We've a lot more than that.
And you even said, I think, that somebody asked for a bit of On Bail Bucht, which is quite interesting, Darren. That somebody went
yes,
that type of
one of our
direction.
Composers, Andrew Hamilton, and of course I should have known with Andrew that he'd pull something so he wanted to do three excerpts from On Bail Bucht by Miles Nagapaline.
And the other side of this is, I mean, the presumption might be, oh, it's all Irish composers, but that's not the case, and
it's not all
Irish singers that are involved either.
No, it's not. There are 12 Irish composers and 5 international composers. And you're probably going to ask me, why was that important to me? Because I didn't want it to be an Ireland-only project. And I didn't want ghettoisation of the Irish language in any shape or form. Mm. And I knew that if there were 5 international composers as well, these songs would take their rightful place in the international art song canon. But actually, at the end of the day, there was really no difference between the international composers and the Irish composers with regard to resources that they needed.
Yeah.
And also,
because I guess many of the Irish composers would have the type of Irish that Garrett was speaking
about.
They don't really speak
Irish. Mm. And that was surprising to me, in that people would ask me, oh, I suppose the singers and the composers all speak Irish, so they just pick up the poem and they write to it. But actually, that's not the case at all.
Well, particularly in the case of singers, I suppose singers sing in German, singers sing in French, singers sing in Italian. They might have, get by type of language.
They might have
song language,
yes.
language of songs rather than, yeah. they couldn't hold a conversation yeah. in those languages necessarily.
Yes. That's right. You're absolutely right about that. So in the project, we created resources so that any singer in the world could look at one of these songs and sing it. So
which is that part of the reason that you have it online? Because everything is available online.
Everything is available online. All the scores are there, all the recordings are there, and they're all available to download free of charge. But also, most importantly, in the scores, there's a thing called the IPA Pronunciation Guide, which is a kind of an international language amongst
international
classical
phonetic
singers.
Alphabet.
It's an international phonetic, and it's a language that opera singers use to sing. Because you know, when you hear singers singing from La Boheme or Katya Kabanova in Czech or whatever language, singers don't speak all these languages. So it's this IPA that allows them to
which
speak.
Is part of your score work
which
as
well.
Which is part
of, yeah.
Garrett.
Absolutely.
And just had you composed in maybe other languages that you weren't familiar with? Had you composed in French or German or Italian or whatever?
Yeah, French and German. And I suppose it, strangely, they're a little less daunting because there is this sort of guilt with Irish that I don't have a better handle on it.
But was there, for all the fact that the guilt was there, was there much more of a connection when composing in Irish or with the Irish language than there was with either the French or the Italian that you mentioned?
I think it was certainly perhaps a deeper process. Because it was more multi-layered, and there was more a sort of a sense of discovery, and I mean the language is so rich; it's a gift for composers. The Irish language, it's so beautiful.
Well, this is the funny thing, because actually all of the composers came in with longer songs than they were asked for. I thought I was going to drown.
Well, do you know what? I have a producer telling me that I'm already giving a longer item than I was asked for. So I better stop. But the 50 songs of the Irish Art Song Project is what we've been speaking about. They're going to be performed across three evenings, 15th of February, 19th of February, 12th of March in the Kevin Barry Recital Room of the National Concert Hall. Seven or eight different singers and two or three different pianists involved in those performances, and you can find out full details on nch.ie.